A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, guys.
What up?
What up is Zach Wilson has moved to number 2 on the depth chart for the New York Jets. Number 2 on the depth. He was number 3 on the depth chart. Second overall pick in the draft.
He's dressing.
Whew. So, Robert Saleh, who, remember, he's keeping receipts.
You can't let that go, can you?
Well, you know, but Key first said he wasn't going to honor the receipt. And then later on, he turned around and said, you know what? I give coach credit.
It's over and it went now. The receipt, that's old, man. That was week 2 or something. You're not worried about that.
Here's Robert Saleh.
Christmas time, man.
Here's Robert Saleh talking about moving Zach Wilson up on the depth chart. Listen to this.
Robert, have you made a decision on who's going to be the number 2 quarterback?
Yeah, we're moving up Zach to the number 2 spot and make Joe the 3rd.
Why, Robert?
Zach's been doing a great job. He's been deliberate in his approach over the last 3 weeks. He's been holding himself accountable with regards to how he wants to attack practice, how he's been performing in practice, going against our defense, which I think is a pretty good defense to go against, and working on all the different things that we've been asking him to accomplish.
Are you still confident that Mike will play this week?
Yeah, we're still working as if he's playing this week.
It sounds to me, Key, like dropping him to 3rd on the depth chart, then moving him up, saying what he said, and yes, Zach Wilson handled it well. He said all the right things in the press and all that stuff, but it sounds like it's part of a rehabilitation plan. You know,
yeah,
like
he was
we're
on punishment for sure.
Yeah,
no
we're
question
gonna,
about it.
We're gonna do some things and let's see how he responds. And if he responds the way we like, we're gonna slowly move him along and back into. Are they setting the stage for his return?
He's on punishment, and Joe Flacco's 900 years old. Okay, they drafted a guy number 2 overall. They're giving the guy close to $30 million to be a quarterback. All right? And with that being said, he's going to get the opportunity and chance when it presents itself to earn the position again. Now, if Mike White, who's 1-2 since becoming the starter, he's completing about 62% of his passes. He's 3-2 touchdown interception ratio with a QBR of about a 49. If he can play and he's healthy, Mike White will be the player, the starter underneath the center. The only way Zach Wilson is going to get underneath the center as the number 1 guy again, Mike White cannot play, or he has he throws 6 interceptions in the first half, is the only way Zach Wilson is going to see the field this year. They're in the middle of a playoff run. The locker room doesn't like Zach Wilson. They don't want him as a quarterback. Everybody's rooting and hoping and praying that Mike White gets healthy enough to take the field. That's the only way Zach Wilson's going to see the field this year. Now, next year, he'll slide into the spring, and they'll see where he's at. And if it'll be a quarterback battle, that's exactly where it's at. Yeah. That's what's going
to
happen.
Sounds right to me, Jay.
I don't see Zach Wilson ever getting the keys to the car.
Ever again?
No. I the energy and the productivity that Mike White has brought to this team is something that I'm not sure Zach Wilson can ever find, because Mike White is going to hold on to it. Now, it may not equate to all wins, but, I mean, if Berrios makes that catch against the Vikings, we're having a completely different conversation right now. Like, they were in that game. And even in the game against the Bills, the hit in which he came back from, you saw the locker room rally around him. Like, he is a tough-nosed quarterback. Is he the most elite of the elite quarterbacks? No, but There's a DNA there that you feel like is shared with the rest of the team. I don't know if Zach Wilson can just find that again.
But the question is, like, I think Key, you're right.
If Mike White gets hurt, what might happen? You're going to have a guy.
I
still think it's Mike White's team.
I don't mean this year, because I agree with Key. It's Mike White this year. But, like, look, it's a small sample, right? And the reason that's significant is you could flip a coin 10 times, get 80% heads, right? Because wild things can happen in small samples. You flip it a million times, it's going to be about 50-50. So Mike White, small sample, but if it is indicative of the kind of quarterback he is, or maybe if he's closer to his ceiling than Zach Wilson, because Zach Wilson, let's just say, is more talented, right? That's why he's drafted second overall. Three touchdowns, two interceptions, and a 49 QBR, it's okay. You'd like more than that, Key. So maybe Mike White gets better. I would assume he would with more reps. But I think their hope is, it must still be, Key, that Zach Wilson can be much better than that, or they wouldn't have taken him so high.
Yeah, but in the end, sometimes when you fall in love with a prospect, no one could ever tell you anything until you actually see, well, that ain't really what we thought it was. Okay? You're playing in college. Your linemen are 30 years old. They're bigger than everybody in college. You're playing against inferior competition, and it's just a different feel until somebody gets you in their building and they get to be around you and understand you and get a feel for you, opposed to an interview here, interview there, some film watching here, t-shirt throwing there, watching you in cone drills, opposed to in the locker room around all of your teammates that you're with currently, and how you respond to certain things, much like he responded after the loss. And he said what he said, and the next thing you know, he was benched. Not only was he benched, he was deactive. Usually when you bench, you don't get deactive. They just bench you. You still wear your uniform. You take notes, and that's pretty much it. He wasn't even dressing. So that told you right then and there, he was in such a doghouse, not only with his teammates, but also with the coaches in the front office. Now they got to look at Joe Flacco, and they said, you know what? We might as well bring him out of the doghouse, allow him to still kind of develop, take some reps with the ones and the twos so we don't stunt his growth just in case. But Mike White's our guy going forward. Because if it wasn't, Robert Saleh would say, hey, we're trying to get him ready to start playing in 2 weeks. We're trying to get him ready to go by the end of the year. He needs to be ready to go.
Yeah, that's not what he said. But I think that's right. I think that analysis, I mean, we'll see if it's spot on. It feels spot on to me. But, Jay, you are looking at it less from a Zach Wilson point of view and more from a Mike White point of view. From what you have seen, and by the way, Key, you were saying it too, man. Mike White, it looks better than Zach Wilson. You were saying it from the first time we saw.
But when you give a guy $30 million and you draft him number two,
he's going to get some opportunity.
You're going to try to figure out how to get him back on the field.
That's the Zach Wilson angle. Jay, from what you've seen of Mike White, is that a starting quarterback in the NFL to you?
Yes. And let me ask you a question. Down the stretch, when you're making a playoff run, you're going to sit here and tell me that Zach Wilson gives you the best chance?
No.
Down the stretch? If it comes down to the game in Miami?
Even if he struggles?
Both teams in the AFC East, you're telling me Zach Wilson, from what you've seen with Zach Wilson, you're going to insert him into the lineup. Even if Mike White plays bad, what would that do to your locker room?
Okay, so you're saying, let's say Zach Wilson is, whoa, my God, look at him in practice. Let's just say, I mean, he's got some stuff. And Mike White really struggles against Detroit, who has an offense but not a defense, right? You're still not going to make the switch.
I think this is Mike White's team, frankly.
And it sounds like you agree, at least for the rest of this year.
Well, it depends on what Mike White does. If Mike White just wets the bed against Detroit, then you probably look at Zach Wilson again.
Do you know?
Do you think Mike White's going to wet the bed? Key, you think
no,
he's going to wet?
I don't see Mike White wetting the bed.
I said if he does. Yeah. I don't know that he will. I'm saying if he does, Detroit's defense is certainly playing a lot better over the last three games. The last three or four games that they've played, they're playing a whole lot better than the beginning of the season.
I'm just saying with that championship-like defense, like that's a championship defense that the Jets have.
They're a good defense. Yeah, I don't know if they're championship, but they're good.
I think they're one of the top-tier defenses in the National Football League.
You know what I noticed?
Like, you need a quarterback that can make plays down the stretch.
Let's stay in the AFC East. What I noticed is, Jay, your Miami Dolphins suddenly stumble, and you got COVID.
Can I put you older folk onto how my game is?
You can when we get back from commercial break.
I can't wait to put
is
you older
the book
folk on my game.
Out on Tua and the Dolphins offense. I mean, people are saying it. He's not going to throw outside the numbers after this word from Omega Accounting. Small business owners, you want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments you made during the pandemic. Key, if you're listening on radio, is covering his entire face with his hood, with his sweatshirt, and peering out over the top of it.
Don't put your hood on.
Imitate Jay taking a hideout after Tua stumbled.
Can't, don't put your hood on. We don't want the key.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're joined by Dan Graziano.
The Grazer.
Dan.
The Grazer. I don't think the Grazer. I don't like that one.
The Grazer. The Grazer.
Yeah, I think we'll pass.
Like
I think we'll
Graziano.
Pass on that one.
See, when I was a kid, Rocky Graziano was still a very famous guy. He was middleweight champ in the
50s. I don't
50s.
Get a whole lot of that
you
anymore.
You don't get any more Rocky when you were
to.
A kid, right?
When I used to. When I started out covering baseball, like in the late 90s, I've run into a lot of people. Any relation to Rocky, but you don't get a lot of that
See,
anymore.
Everyone knows Rocky Marciano. He was the undefeated heavyweight champ. But Rocky Graziano, you know somebody up there likes me, Paul Newman movie. It was Once Upon a Time very famous. That's about Rocky Graziano, who was also Once Upon a Time very
He's got
famous.
A blank look on his face. Yeah. He has no idea what you're talking about.
I don't like the Grazer for you either, by
Anything's worth a shot, like a but not everything connects. That's all it has.
Yeah. That's like the type of thing your friend does to give you a bad nickname on purpose to make fun of
it.
The Grazer, the 1957 Chevy.
The Grazer.
Now, that just sounds scary. That sounds scary. I don't want that guy in the Chevy.
Yeah, weren't you in the Outsiders?
I don't want that Grazer pulling up on me in the easy.
The Grazer, man.
Grazer's coming through.
His sleeve rolled up with some cigarettes in it.
The t-shirt rolled up in it.
He's a greaser. All right.
Yeah. I'm sure this is not what I came in here to talk about.
Cigarettes rolled up in the sleeve.
Hey, is the book out on Tua and the Dolphins, Gross?
It's a book out on. So the last couple teams they played did a good job with them on defense, right? In a couple different ways. The Chargers were pressing the receivers at the line, trying to reroute them and throw, because everything's so timing and rhythm based with Tua and the offense. So,
but the main thing is keeping them inside the numbers, right?
No, the main thing is timing, right? So, like if the Chargers were able to be physical with the receivers at the line, and then you know the first option in terms of what he's supposed to do isn't there, and the timing is off, they've got to get to plan B. Now, I mean, they can, right? Tua's good, and the coach is good, and they have to figure some stuff out because two games in a row out there in California, teams found a way to defend them that they hadn't seen before, and they didn't react well in the moment. So I'm not putting it past them to figure it out, but playing the Bills in the snow on Saturday night is not exactly good. Right, like the best place to get healthy as an offense. So that's the concern.
Well, look, here's what happened, and Dan is right. When you, D'Amico Ryans and what they were able to do defensively in San Francisco, play zone defense, and at times make him pull the ball down, go to the second and third receiver. By the time you look up, the defense was in his face, harassing him, putting hands on the receivers. Then you go to the Chargers and Brandon Staley. What did they do? They doubled, they disrupted the hands on the receivers. You got to put hands on the receivers to start with. You cannot allow Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle to just run down the freeway butt naked with nothing around them. I mean, you just can't do it. Now, can the Buffalo Bills do that in freezing temperatures? I believe so. They're at home. I've said it all along. Now let's see if this offense can travel to the cold weather and do what they don't have a running game. So their running game is a sharp passing game. Now let's see if Buffalo can come up, rally, and tackle, bring 7-8 players to the ball at all times. And if that's the case, they're going to get run out of the building. I'm just telling you what's getting ready to happen if they can't make hay on the offensive side of the ball, because their defense cannot stop Buffalo. I don't care what happened in 115-degree weather at the beginning of the season in South Florida. This is a different beast going up to Archer Park.
Dan, is it going to come down to Jets-Dolphins, the last game of the season, to determine which one of those teams is going to get into the playoffs?
For a playoff spot? It could. I mean, depending on what the hell happens around them, right? Like, the Dolphins looked set for so long, but if you look at the rest of their schedule – they have this game this week, which is very, very difficult. In a couple of weeks, they got to go up to New England, which is going to be cold as well. So, yeah, they have to get it together. It absolutely could. I think it absolutely could. I think the Dolphins are in legitimate danger of missing the playoffs.
Ooh,
which would
don't
have sounded
say that, Dan. Ooh, don't
ridiculous.
Say that, Dan.
Who do you have more?
Like
so you have more faith in the Jets currently?
I didn't say that. I said the Dolphins. Like the Dolphins are ahead of them, and I do think they're the better team. So if it did come down to that game, I would probably favor the Dolphins. But
oh, don't say that.
What
though,
I'm
Dan.
Saying
say
is, there's a legitimate like you would not have thought a couple weeks ago that there was any chance at all of the Dolphins missing the playoffs, and now you look at what their schedule's like, the way they've played the last couple of weeks. You can kind of see the path to it happening.
Dan. Yeah, there's some cracks that's happening with them. Now look, they got the Bills, which I'm giving the win to the Bills. Then they go home. They go home and they got the Green Bay Packers that's fighting for a playoff spot, right?
Yeah,
they got them. They fighting for a playoff spot. At least they're at home in that situation. Then they go back to New England. New England will be trying to scrap and claw to show that they can get in the real playoff contention and stay there at home in cold weather again. Then the Jets. Oh, the Jets defense. You know how Robert Saleh feels about his defense. He now sees a nasty defense again. That last game is going to come down to something. But if Miami would have missed the playoffs after having the number one, 2 seed for most of the season, now all of a sudden they miss the playoffs. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Hey, we've been talking MVP.
We've
been talking MVP.
Oh, gosh.
Because Tua was in this MVP conversation, but not anymore.
Probably not.
Jalen Hurts, Micah Parsons going at Jalen Hurts on Von Miller's podcast.
What are you doing that for?
And then Jalen Hurts is like, I'm focused on the Bears. And then Mailata weighs in, and the real battle is going to be between Mailata.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the dude he's trying to get around, Micah Parsons. And we were talking about MVP. Jay brought up, I thought, a really interesting point, which is it just looks like Hurts and Mahomes right now, right? But Burrow's on their heels. Yeah. And by the way, let Josh Allen have 3 or 4 big games to close out. But we're talking about like the fact that Hurts will have this signature moment game possibility with all this buildup with Micah Parsons at Cowboys Christmas Eve on the road. He has a chance for a signature. I got the MVP moment. Then Jay brings up this, or a caller brings up this. Look at the Bengals and Joe Burrow, who haven't lost now in 5 games.
Yep.
They have down the stretch Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson, or whoever and the Ravens, right, who've beaten them earlier. If they win out, could Joe Burrow win MVP?
There's no question about it, because that level of competition will definitely go a long way with the voters. You go back a few weeks, they were heading into Tennessee to play the Titans at a time when Tennessee was kind of rolling. And then they had the Chiefs. Like, you were looking
ahead.
And they
just lost to the Cleveland Browns.
Right. You're like, this schedule that the Bengals have the rest of the way is brutal. How are they going to do against it? Well, so far, so good, right? They beat the Titans. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Browns, who have been their nemesis. If they continue to roll and they run down the Ravens and pass them for the division title by beating them head-to-head in Week 18, yes, he's going to have a strong case, and he should. The thing about MVP, like, and the times in which we live and discuss sports, is people think, oh, if you like one guy, you're denigrating the other guy, right? Like, Jalen Hurts it has a strong MVP case. Patrick Mahomes has a strong MVP case. Joe Burrow, like, this is all, if you're voting for this award, you're looking for tiebreakers, right? So that's where you say to yourself, so-and-so has maybe the better supporting cast, right? Whereas so-and-so did more with less. So-and-so had the tougher schedule versus, that's how this works. But any one of these guys could legitimately be MVP of the league, and it would be a fine outcome. And that's the thing about it. There's very rarely is there a year where it's clear and obvious runaway.
So, Dan, let's dig deeper into the trenches of that matchup on Christmas Eve. So, obviously, Micah Parsons was targeted multiple times last time these two teams met up, pretty much, right? He was singled out. What do you think about his comments that he made about Jalen Hurts, and what do you think about, you know, is he trying to, like, coy him into a position? Yeah, can you sit back in the pocket and throw the ball 30, 40 times instead of using your feet to kind of, you know, scramble out of it? Like, is he trying to challenge him? What is he trying to do?
I wish I knew what his motivation was. I think oftentimes pass rushers don't like quarterbacks, period. So, like, the idea that, like, the MVP has to go to a quarterback probably annoys Micah Parsons in general, right? So maybe if – I don't know. There's something about that comment that struck me as, you're right, absolutely unnecessary. And they're not even playing them this week. Like, I mean, I think what the Eagles said, like – well, you know, shouldn't they be focused on the Jaguars? And they're right. So, I mean, the Jaguars are kind of live. Like, they could bite them. So, yeah, I don't know. I wish I knew what his motivation was. I doubt that it's...
Could it be?
I doubt that it's calculated, but I guess it could be.
Could it be like last time, as Key pointed out, they ran at him?
Yeah.
And it's almost like a fighter going into a fight. Man, as long as he doesn't run, you know, if he mixes it up, because, you know, right? So he'd rather them try to beat him with Jalen Hurts than by running at him again so he can go get the quarterback?
Yeah, maybe. I doubt that it would work. I don't think the Eagles are going to be like, oh, well, he doesn't think we could do this. I think they're going to design their game plan the way they want to regardless, but... Yeah, it's interesting. It gives it a little more juice, which I don't think that game needed, but we'll take all we can get.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Dan, I'm with you, though. You worry about the Jaguars, man. Deal with the Eagles the week of. Worry about the Jaguars because they are playing good football, especially on the offensive side of the ball right now. And you don't want to slip up and have them pop you and then have everybody going, oh, my God. So Jerry Jones had some interesting comments the other day. You know, about Dak Prescott's playing ability. He loves the aggressiveness from the offensive play caller and what Dak has been able to do. But at the same time, Dak's been, you know, turning the ball over at a little bit of an alarming rate here, even though over the last 8 weeks since he's been the starting quarterback, they lead the league in scoring. Is he being too careless with the football?
He is. And the thing is, though, I think he knows that, right? It reminds me of what Josh Allen went through a few weeks ago, right, where he's throwing the red zone interceptions, and we're like, what's wrong with Josh? And I think Dak's going to have to adjust some things and be more careful with the ball because you're going to get into these playoff situations where the margins are thinner, right, and you're not going to be able to pile up points the way they have against non-playoff teams. So he is. The good thing is they have time to figure it out. It's not as if Dak Prescott's been a turnover machine throughout his career until now. Like, I don't think we have to worry about this becoming a major issue, but it is something that they have to address, and he's got to get worked out.
Dan Graziano, no relation to Rocky Graziano.
Nope.
ESPN NFL Insider. Thank you, as always, Dan.
Hey,
and I understand
Dan,
you will be appearing on a fantastic show this just in at 2 p.m. Eastern today on ESPN.
I'm going to take the 57 Chevy over there. What's up, Keith?
Yeah. You know it's cold in Buffalo.
I've heard.
Okay, just want you to know.
I've heard. It's supposed to snow 9 inches.
It's cold
inches.
In Buffalo, Jay.
I'm going to win money on the game regardless.
I don't know. At this point, I'm not even sure for a fact that I'm going to be able to get there.
I've always been a gambler.
Right. Oh, yeah, sure.
Key, just because you learned what just a hook is this year doesn't mean it. Come on.
Jay, you brought out the Grazer earlier. That's all I know. He was Dan Graziano, then all of a sudden he was like, I never said that, Jay. The Grazer came out.
The Grazer. 57
inches. Never said that, Jay.
Rolled up sleeves.
Not what I said.
It's not what I said.
Quote me accurately.
That's right. Dan Graziano, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I'm out of here.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
That's right.
Hey, if you needed a bucket in the NBA, who are you calling a ball above all others? Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Anthony Davis.
Now listen up, my people. You're about to hear me drop seven names in my order. You call into this show, debate me if you want. argue at me, yell at me. I do not care. I put together this list last night with my boy Alan Yates, and we struggled with it. And what the list is, it's we have seven players right now in the NBA, seven players that are averaging 30 points per game. Yes, I rounded Steph Curry up because he's averaging 29.6. Seven players.
That's 30.
Here is the challenge. Here's the exercise, Max Kellerman. You need a bucket. I'm not talking about you need somebody to make a pass. You need somebody to make a play. You need somebody to go get you a bucket when it matters the most.
Put the ball through the hoop.
I am ranking the seven players who are averaging 30 points right now.
Oh.
Let's start with number seven.
Number seven.
Ooh, you're not going to like me for this. Luka Doncic. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. He's an MVP conversation. I know he's a walking bucket, but he's seven on my list because he dominates the ball too long. Everybody knows where it's coming from. Now, I know you're going to say, well, everybody knows where it's coming from with any of these guys, but when he hold on to the ball for 20 seconds out of the 24 seconds of a shot clock, and yeah, he can put up buckets with anybody, I feel you, but still, that makes it even more challenging for me when you need it the most. Next up.
Number six.
Number six, yeah. OKC, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, you can say, hey, Jay, I can't believe it, because you guys don't hear about him, because we don't really talk hoops like we should be talking hoops, okay? He is a walking bucket. There is a reason why the Clippers are like, damn, we let him go. What were we doing? This dude is a walking bucket. He can score on anybody. And by the way, mid-range game is soft as cotton. Look at the floaters that we're showing. That's number six. Next up.
Number five.
I'm going with the guy who hurt his shoulder last night. Now, I know you're going to say the guy who was the MVP finals, the NBA finals MVP, multiple time MVP. Yeah, but I'm going with Steph Curry, right? Now, he does a lot more stuff off the ball. We've seen him dance with the ball. He is a wizard. I'm not saying he's not. But me, compared to the other four guys above him, this is what makes the list so hard. This guy is crazy. He's averaging 30.
You sat and thought about this with Yates for a long time, and you got Steph five.
I went through like six or seven versions. Ooh. Yates went through 20 versions.
All right, so Luka seven.
It's hard, cuz.
Luka seven, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander six, Steph Curry five.
Next
who's
up.
Four?
Next
number
up.
Four.
Giannis, man. I watched this dude the other night. Max, I would love to see you try to do this. Starting from one end line to the other, it took my man three dribbles. Three! To get to the other end of the court before he yammed it on somebody. Now, every aspect of his game has gotten better, right? Multiple time MVP, and the guy's shooting percentage has gotten better, and he's still unstoppable. He's an unstoppable force. Who's stopping that Euro step? Nobody. He's number four. Next up.
Number three.
Joel Embiid, better put respect on his name. 53-point game the other day, multiple 30-point games. He's just a walking bucket in his sleep. I watch him work out with Drew Hanlon in the offseason. Give it to you any way you want it.
Any era.
The most skilled big man in the history of the game to play. And I'm saying that even with AD being at his prime. I'm still taking Joel Embiid. Next up.
Number two.
The walking bucket of all walking buckets, Kevin Durant. Oh, I had Kevin Durant number two. What? He's a seven-footer. He's a seven-footer dancing like Kyrie. Doing everything on a perimeter that a guard would do, but still can put a smaller person on the block and post up. He's number two. And number one?
Number one.
He's my front runner for the MVP right now, Jason Tatum. I mean, we talked about this last year. Jason Tatum was on the outside of the velvet ropes looking at all the MVPs in the MVP area, right? But now he's inside those ropes. Right now, to me, he is the leading candidate for Player of the Year. He's the MVP of the NBA. Can give it to you any way you want it. That is my list. I have number seven, Luka. Number six, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Number five, Stephen Curry. Number four, Giannis. Number three, Joel Embiid. Number two, Kevin Durant. And number one, Jason Tatum.
Can we just lop off
but
the
hold
first?
Hold on, though, man.
Yeah.
You're missing Dame.
Dame's not averaging 30.
These are just guys who are averaging.
Just guys who are averaging.
Over 29.5. You're over 29.5. That's 30. You round
it
up. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
okay.
You round it up. Okay.
Curry's at 30 on the nose.
That's what I'm saying. Yo, call in. Debate me. Please.
Yeah, so, Jay, can we lop off 4 through 7 for a second? Because I agree with the top three in some order. I don't know if I would have that order. I think you have a I think you could easily argue Embiid because of the size and strength and ability to shoot from outside. I don't know.
But here's what you got to come at me with.
I'm not debating that you're wrong. I agree with the top three. I don't think we need to discuss all the others necessarily. But whoa, those
top three. What type of bucket you talking about though?
Whatever buckets you fancy, Key. What do you fancy? What do you like? What's your swag? What's your style?
See, I'm.
It's hard.
I might
as hell,
put Giannis in front of Embiid.
Okay. Ooh,
I might
really?
Put Giannis in front of Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You talk about the way something looks so key.
I might put Steph in front of Embiid too. Because Steph can give me a 2 or a 3.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, yeah.
When I think of Giannis, when people say you need a bucket, I think of ISO game, right? Like, just because that's it, right? Like, the guy has the ball in his hand. We're not talking about passing it. We're talking about scoring when he has the ball in his hands. So that's why I like Joel Embiid a lot over someone like Giannis, who's getting it in the flow of the game a little more.
What big is stopping Joel Embiid? What guard is stopping Joel Embiid?
Nobody.
Nobody. But I also say this is what makes it hard. Like, what player realistically can stop Giannis?
Nobody.
And Giannis when Embiid and Giannis match up, they give each other
buckets.
But
Embiid might stop himself, though.
I mean, look, Steph Curry being at 5, like, that's where
Let's stop.
Because Steph also does so much off the ball, but he still can get you a bucket. But still,
do you
want Steph? Easily.
Jay,
but do you want Steph dancing with the ball? Doing all,
the big eye opener on the list, let's not bury the lead, is Tatum and Durant. You got Tatum over Durant, right? Like, if it comes down to those two guys, you put Jason Tatum over KD to get you a bucket
now. Even more importantly, Max, I got Luka 7th.
Yeah, but Tatum over KD, because in certain ways there's similarities, and you're like, Tatum's better right now. That's what you're saying offensively.
But Luka way, because I done seen Luka build a house a couple times too, Jay. Come on now.
Yeah.
You keep it 100 if you're going to keep it 100.
A lot of James Harden in that game.
He got a lot of boink, doink. Oh, it wasn't me, it was him.
Lewis in Texas. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Lewis?
I think I got to take Giannis. You were right a while ago, Jay. His pure speed, how he can get from one side of the court to the other, and he's like a souped-up version of Hakeem to me. I don't think no one can stop him. And my wild card is Ja Morant. I don't know why you don't got him in the mix, but I guess he don't score 30 points. I got to go with Giannis, but my wild card would be Ja Morant.
Yeah, Ja Morant's at 27.7. Once again, this list is of all the players currently averaging 30 right now, and I rounded Stephen Curry up because he was at 29.6. Actually, his points actually came – he had 30 last night, so it came to 30.
Yeah.
It came to 30. So, 30 even. But, like, so I'm with you on GA. Like, look, if you ever spent time with Giannis, you see how long his arms are, and you see how much his game has improved.
He's so long.
It's stupid. Long. He takes one step over. He can literally take one dribble over half court, and he'll finish at the rim.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, and he has all that wiggle side to side, and he can maneuver. Like, it makes it difficult, man.
Give us a call. If you need a bucket in the NBA, not a pass, not a bucket.
A bucket.
Who you going to call?
Man, Steph Curry, though, man.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. The ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio. We're right there. Jay's round ball rankings. He ranked the top bucket getters in the NBA, meaning of everyone averaging 30 and better this year.
You know anything about this,
Max? You need a bucket. Who are you going to? We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And he had Luka at 7, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 6, Steph at 5, Giannis at 4, Joel Embiid at 3, and then it gets really interesting because two guys who are similar in certain ways. I mean, if you're putting Tatum ahead of KD for the one spot, which Jay did, Tatum 1, KD 2, then what you're saying is almost in terms of that whole thing, there's a torch that's been passed, or at least temporarily. I mean, that's what it says to me. Rodney in Massachusetts, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Yo, 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 what's going down? First of all, Jay, I'm disappointed in you, man. You usually say some real stuff. You wrong on this one, man. And I'm going to tweet at you so you can see the face of the person who diced you up online.
Ugh.
Listen, listen. Kevin Durant is number one. You heard? Kevin Durant is number one. It's not even close. Jason Tatum just got off the porch. He's a young pup. He just got off the porch. Don't do that. Don't do the recency bias. Don't do that. Kevin Durant is number one. Your whole list is in shambles, my G.
It's not in shambles. I mean, I got one and two, and you want to flip-flop them. I got it. It's not in shambles, though.
It is, because you got Luka Doncic at 7.
Yo, dog, I'll give you the mic now. We're going to have a real conversation about this. You tell what the difference is between Luka and James. Luka dominates. I'm not saying that Luka isn't special.
Harden normally wasn't seventh on the list.
But, dog, he dominates the ball, man. It's crazy to me. Like, the ball don't move, don't go nowhere else.
Would you have Harden on 7 on the list back then? You'd probably have him higher, though. You know what I mean?
Like, I can't do a revisionist list. I don't know. What'd you say?
What I'm saying is the question was get a bucket. I don't care how you got the bucket. Get a bucket. I don't care that he dominates the ball. I don't care. You're not talking about how an offense is ran, even though I agree he's like James Harden. We're talking about getting a bucket. I'm not putting a big over anybody that handles the ball.
So, you're saying Joel Embiid can get you a bucket when you need it the most. The most skilled big man ever to play the game. I'm going to dice you up right now. You tell me another big more skilled than Joel Embiid. And who's guarding Joel Embiid?
Can't stop Embiid.
You tell me
there's
that.
There's no stopping him if you need a bucket. Come on.
What? A pig that has to get the ball that has to get the ball passed to him in the post, maybe. So you trust?
But he has the ball. That's the point.
He don't got to get the ball passed to him. He gets the ball in the perimeter. So you're giving Luka an advantage because he starts with the ball in his hands as a PG.
For the purposes of this conversation, he already has the ball.
If you need a bucket, he has the ball in his hands anywhere on the court.
Luka.
Now I'm a Joel Embiid guy.
Hey, you know this guy who's going at your Tatum KD thing? I'll point out. Tatum and KD played about a week or two ago, Jay, and KD held his own with Tatum. He played as well as Tatum. And the story out of the game was that KD played as well as Tatum, not the other way around. And that suggests that you're ranking Tatum number one is perfectly fine.
What happened? Look, KD is a walking bucket.
Of course.
Walking bucket. Course. I have all the respect in the world for KD. Best bucket getter maybe in the history of the game. Understood that. I'm just saying right now, I kind of feel like there's a slight advantage that JT has over him, considering what I watched last year in the playoffs. Who guarded Kevin Durant? Who guarded Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Okay? And who came through? Who got to the NBA Finals? Now, I know he didn't do it at the biggest level.
He did it against KD, though.
Yeah. Just for right now.
Guys, Charles.
I'm glad I wasn't the one that made that list.
Charles Barkley, meantime.
To make a list, Key.
I don't want to make – I don't – I don't want KD tweeting at me. You know?
Oh, is the tweet going to hurt your feelings?
Wouldn't it be the first time he's tweeted at me?
You don't care who tweets at you, Key. Like, you care if someone tweets at you.
I'm very sensitive to those things. Yeah,
of course.
I really want people
don't
to
hurt
like
everyone
me.
Know that if you tweet at Key, it hurts his feelings. So don't tweet at Key. All right. Charles Barkley is tired of talking about the Lakers.
Boy, ain't he right.
He said it's, quote, a conspiracy. The Lakers stink. He said it on Inside the NBA. Listen to this.
The Lakers stink. Yeah, well, y'all forcing us to show them all the time, like they're going to be good.
Y'all is it, Ernie?
No, the NBA.
Okay.
It's a conspiracy. And then we got all these clowns on television, have to talk about them every day.
A conspiracy?
It's a conspiracy. Like, we have to talk about the Lakers. The Lakers are awful. We don't talk about no other 14 seed. They're not a 14 seed. They're a 12 seed. We don't talk about what's the 12th seed in the East?
Washington.
We don't ever talk about the Washington Wizards, do we? Ever. Do we ever mention the Washington Wizards, the great Bradley Beal? No, but for some reason, these morning talk shows and us, we have to show the Lakers all the time. The Lakers stink.
Yeah, so, Chuck, I mean, he ain't lying. He's telling the truth.
Yeah, but guess what?
Yeah, people.
The Lakers ain't Washington, man. Okay, number one. Let's stop that.
100%.
LeBron James is on the team. AD's on the team. Westbrook is on the team. And it's the damn Lakers. Chuck know that. Chuck just talking right now.
Come on.
Nobody wants to talk about no damn Washington.
You know why we talk Lakers? Why does McDonald's sell fries?
It's only about five teams.
You know why? They're popular.
It's only about five teams in the NBA that we even talk about, period.
Who knows?
That's
not true.
That is very true.
That's what people who don't follow basketball brand names.
Don't nobody talk about no damn Utah. Ain't nobody talking about no Utah, Jay. Nobody talking about no Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, in basketball circles, we talking about the Hawks. We talking about real teams.
May I suggest something?
We talking about what OKC's doing. We talking about what the Clippers are doing.
Oh, stop. May I suggest something about the difference here with the NBA?
Nobody wants to say something. Damn, Utah.
Can I say something quick? Charles Barkley is not wrong.
He's not wrong, but he misses the point.
To manufacture conversations because it's LeBron James.
It's the Lakers.
But they're not relevant.
It does not matter.
No, they're not.
Wait, let me say this. Instead of just saying no, they're not, yes,
everybody
they are.
Everybody knows about it. People tweet about it every day.
I'd like to make
nobody's talking about the Miami Heat, Jay.
The NBA, unlike the NFL, has a lot of inventory, meaning they play 3 games a week. The reason the entire country can follow essentially every NFL team, and you could talk about more obscure markets, right, is because they all play once a week. It's possible to follow. Everybody can follow everybody. Major League Baseball and the NBA, you follow the home team mainly, and then a few other big star players and name brand teams.
Basketball, you're wrong.
But we don't
follow teams anymore. We follow individual players.
I mean, a national
people
audience.
People are following LeBron. That's why.
People are following the Lakers.
No, it's not the Lakers.
Regardless, LeBron ain't got to be on the Lakers for the Lakers to get national televised games. They're going to get those when they were terrible. They was getting nationally televised games
with AD and Russ. You think they were in the same level?
When they was harsh, you know what? They was on Christmas Day. Come on now.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about them the same level like
as
that.
As long as the Lakers have a brand name player, they will be in the news all the time.
No, they would not be in the news at this rate. If they didn't have LeBron James, they would not be in the news.
I just said, as long as the Lakers have a brand name player.
Anthony Davis is not a brand
name player. Not every team with a brand name player is going to be the Lakers with a brand name player.
But he's saying when the Lakers were booty, we were still talking about them at this rate.
But not as much.
Because it's the Lakers.
Ah, nah.
It's the Lakers.
Charles Barkley. And they usually have a brand name player. Charles That's Barkley. Why they're the Lakers.
How are we going to talk about the Lakers today? Uh-oh.
Kareem may not want to talk about the Lakers. Kobe and Shaq. That's a Laker hater.
LeBron and AD.
He didn't tie his shoes right there.
Jerry West. More KJM next. LeBron
James. Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.